The following program is brought to you by Christ Apostolic Church, Wolseley.
God be praised. I want to welcome you to the Way of God. This is the Word of God. I'm Pastor Abraham of Badari, and I've always told you that the Way of God is the Word of God. With me here today to assist in sharing the Word of God is a pastor from Lanham, Maryland, from Christ Apostolic Church, Lanham, Maryland, Pastor Samuel Obadari. We welcome you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
To be here.
God bless you. Thank you so much for taking some time to be here with us. One thing that I know that is certain is that the Word of God is life.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
If we can move in the Word of God, if we can live in the Word of God, there is no doubt that our lives will take different turns. It'll be more meaningful,
yes,
than if we do otherwise. Yes, I was under a ministration that you were given last night in a prayer meeting, and I was really grateful to God for bringing you around to share those kind of words. I realized that many times when we read the word, we don't understand it until God begins to explain things to us.
That's right.
Through the help of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to, as you have received that type of understanding of the Word of God, share with us today. So the title is The useless religion. And the Bible specifically says something about this thing that we call useless religion. How can your religion be useless? How can my religion be useless? It's not as if we have two different religions. We call ourselves Christians, but can a person's Christianity be referred to as a useless religion? And you were shedding some light. So please, I'd like you to take some time and go through with this from the book of James that you were looking at yesterday. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank God for the opportunity to be on this show.
Absolutely.
And to share nothing but the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
That's the living Word.
Hallelujah.
There are great orators, there are great poets, and they've written some great things, because the Bible says we are made in the image of God. But nothing trumps the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
Nothing is as relevant to the human life as the Word of God. After all, God formed everything by His Word.
Absolutely.
And so we, with respect to all the human knowledge possible, which God has given us for our own betterment, but the Word of God stands in a category all by itself.
Absolutely.
So it's a privilege to be the bearer.
Hallelujah.
Of the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so thank you, sir, for having me here.
We thank God.
As the pastor said, yesterday we were talking about the tongue, but specifically we started with James chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. I'll read it to you. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, while not bridling his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is
useless.
And I just want to share with us what understanding God gave me of this passage as I was studying. religion, you know, that's a common word.
Yeah.
You know, and I want us to notice that it simply means our act of service, our piety, our devotion to the Lord, you know, and it's a good thing. We have to be devoted to God. We have to have love for God. And, you know, our love is indicated by the things we do for God. And when it comes to Christian faith, you know, I hear people when they say, well, you know, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God. And that is very true. But the way we also indicate our services to God is through our religious services.
Yeah.
And so there is no way we can minimize religion. We have to know that in our faith, God does require us to demonstrate the faith by the things we do for the Lord and for the people of God. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how can we do all of that? It may be different things for you than it is for me, and we have some commonalities in our walks of religion, and then still, the Bible says those things may become useless, of no use, of no value. The word useless there simply means worthless, having no value to it. Well, let's pay attention.
Yeah.
If anyone is doing the religious activities and crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but does not bridle his tongue, this person has two problems. One, he's deceiving himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad enough to be deceived by somebody.
Right.
Then it's worse to be deceiving oneself. And also, all the work the person is doing is of no worth. And so, when we were studying this yesterday, we now realize the importance of bridling our tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go further in this scripture, we realize that what the Bible is actually saying is that the measure of our spiritual status, our spiritual integrity, the transformation that has really taken place, that ought to take place in us, is not so much of the activities we do. It's not so much of the things that we observe externally, but it is a reflection, and it is measured by the quality of what comes out of our mouth through the tongue. Two things I will say quickly, and then maybe the pastor wants to chip in. Number one, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the tongue or the mouth speaks. That means where our heart really is indicated by what comes out of our mouth through the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So while I can do all kinds of things externally to show my love for God and for people and to show that I'm now a believer,
yeah,
but what is coming out of my tongue can say otherwise. It can say whether I've really been regenerated, because my heart now is being reflected by a new type of speech.
Yes.
Not the activities. That's why it says the activities are kind of worthless in measuring what's going on there. Because we can put that on. We can train that. You mm-hmm. know, activities, we can learn activities by mm-hmm. being in a certain environment.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn activities by knowing, you know, the right moves to take. And that includes going to church, we should. That includes praying, even, we should. That includes, you know, even witnessing, we should. But God is saying, what would tell how far I have been renewed in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind, is what is coming out from the inside. Because most of the time is a true reflection of where my heart is. Secondly, sometimes as we look into the book of James chapter 3, we realize that even it is possible that we have been regenerated
mm-hmm.
and we love God
mm-hmm.
and we really sincerely are doing the religious activities, not because we just want to put on a show,
it's because
but because we really love God.
Yeah.
But James chapter 3 tells us that the tongue, specifically in verse 6, it says the tongue is a world of iniquity or a world of unrighteousness. This is what that means. The tongue is a world on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has the ability to take on a life of its own. And there isn't much good on that tongue, but unrighteousness. And iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
That means sometimes even we that love God, if we are not careful,
we can begin to speak
evil. We can begin to speak things that do not correspond to what is in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tongue can just go on its own.
Mm.
It doesn't mean we don't love God,
mm-hmm.
but the Bible says that tongue is an unrestrainable evil.
Wow. I hope you're getting this. This is deep. May we have understanding of the Word of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. If anyone, I take you back to chapter 1, verse 26, James. If anyone among Christians thinks he is religious, thinks she is religious, but cannot, will not, does not, doesn't even know how to bridle his or her tongue, this person is deceiving self. Wow. And then his or her religion is useless. And now that is made possible because, I mean, it could be the religion of that person can be made worthless, if I use your word, because the person has no control over their tongue.
Yes.
The tongue seems to have a life of its own, does what it wants to do, unless you and I have the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings to us the consciousness to control this little thing that the Bible calls a world on its own.
Yes.
Now, still in that verse 6 though, not only is it a world of iniquity,
yes,
it also calls it of fire.
That's right.
James 3, 6. And the tongue is a fire. Pastor, help me out. What does that mean, that the tongue is a fire?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, if we read from verse 3 to verse 5, James loves comparison. And he uses a lot of natural phenomena to help us understand spiritual things. And so, to help us understand the tongue, he talks about, well, look at the horses.
Yeah.
We put bits in their mouth to control them.
Right.
A horse is a large animal, but the bits are very small. And once we use it to control their mouth, we control the whole body. And then he talks about a large sheep driven by fierce wind, but we control it with a small rudder.
Right.
And then it goes to a big forest. You see, verse 5, the B part.
Right.
And he said, a little fire.
Fire.
Just one matchstick is what we need. It will kindle a fire that will destroy the whole forest. He now says, look at the tongue. As big as your whole body is. Some of us have, you know, just an unbelievable brain. You know, we are genius. And some of us have large muscles. You know, we have great things about us. But our tongue, usually they're not that big, just very small part. What James is saying is that just as a small fire is able to consume a whole forest, that's what the tongue is. That it can set on fire the whole course of nature. But here are the two things it does. Let's notice that the Bible says first it defiles the whole body.
Verse 6.
And then after the tongue defiles the whole body because it's full of iniquity and unrighteousness.
Yes.
And then it can now bring fire, which is destruction, on the life of a person. Fire doesn't do anything good when you set it, set a place ablaze. It destroys. That's why the tongue is a fire. It's small, but in a split second, it can be used to say something that can ruin the life of a person.
And I noticed that just like the fire can destroy someone else's property.
Yes.
But it can destroy one's own property.
That's right.
So the tongue, since it behaves like a fire.
Yes.
Has no control.
That's right.
Can destroy self, the speaker.
That's right.
Or the hearer.
You're right, sir. Yeah, just, you know, how many fire incidents do we see that, you know, somebody that started it ends up dying in it, inadvertently. You know what that means? Your tongue can kill you.
Ooh.
inadvertently. Inadvertently.
Wow.
And so that's why we better pay so much attention to our tongue, because it's a deadly thing. In fact, as we go further down, we will realize that the Bible says, if you don't get all these images I've been trying to paint, let me come out for you in clear terms. Mm-hmm. The Bible says to us, in should we just go there now?
Yeah, why not?
The Bible tells us in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, unrestrainable evil, full of deadly poisons. And so, the image of the tongue, maybe you're saying, well, I never saw my tongue like that. Mm. I never knew the tongue has that much power. The Bible says the power of life and death is on the tongue. He who loves the tongue will reap the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, by your tongue you shall be judged, that is condemned, or by your tongue you shall be justified. Mm-hmm. So our tongue, the more we realize that the tongue, that little thing in our mouth, is so powerful, then we become conscious of it and we begin to be careful how we use it. Because you can speak things that before God will condemn you, and you don't even know you've done that. You can speak something that would destroy somebody else, and to you, it just spilled out of your mouth and you didn't think anything about it, but it has set a life on fire. Now think about it. You probably will remember what somebody said many years ago. Maybe they didn't even mean it. And it formed something on the inside of you. And it never left you. Some people have been damaged by the tongue of other people.
Absolutely.
Some people's potentials have been capped and canned and sealed and destroyed just by one silly little comment that somebody made. That they did. Maybe it was even a joke. That's how powerful the tongue is.
You know, I always tell people that if you're cracking a joke and the person that is supposed to receive it is not enjoying it, they're not laughing, then it's no good. Mm-hmm. Drop it.
Yes, sir. It is amazing that our tongue can be said to possess death-bringing poison.
Poison.
You know, yesterday we were beginning to look at what are these poisons. We've talked about the tongue. I like you to note this as we're talking, that number one, the tongue is a fire. We know what fire does.
Verse 6, yes.
And some of you, some other people's tongue have kind of burned you. And some of us, even though we are believers now, we are still burning other people. Mm. Some of us are burning a whole church down. Mm. Not physically, but with our tongue. I said, well, you know, I just like to say it as I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, I call it the way I see it. Mm-hmm. I don't mince words. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You are destroying with your tongue. You say, no, you know me. I'll set him straight. I'll put him where it belongs. You know, you feel a sense of pride there. You say, I'm speaking the truth, man. No, you are destroying by your tongue. That's what you're doing.
Wow.
And some of us are on the receiving end of the fire on other people's tongue. Some of us still need to be healed from what somebody else has said. So you know how powerful the tongue is.
Yeah.
Number two, the Bible says it's full of deadly poison. Mm-hmm. And when we looked at this yesterday, the understanding the Holy Spirit gives us is when the Bible says the deadly poison, it literally means death-bringing poisons.
Right.
You know, there are some poisons that, you know, you can get to the hospital and they'll flush it away if you get there on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some poisons that can incapacitate you. They may not really kill that person. Mm-hmm. There are some poisons that are so little.
Mm-hmm.
The tongue, the poisons on the tongue are little and they destroy. They may do it gradually, they may do it immediately, and they may do it in a way that you may never notice that's what they are doing. And we began to look at what are these death-bringing poisons. There are so many of them. One of them is evil speaking. And the Bible tells us very clearly, in fact, in this same book of James, you know, the book of James is so interesting that I encourage you to take some time to study it. And so let me just talk on this and I'll pause. Maybe the pastor wants to lead us on even from that point. But evil speaking, if you look at the book of James, chapter 4, verse 11, just one chapter after where we are. He says, do not speak evil of one another.
Mm-hmm.
He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Briefly, evil speaking means to speak against. It means to slander. What do we use to do that? The tongue.
The tongue.
That's one of the deadly poisons on our tongue, even when we are believers. Now, don't forget, I said earlier that when the Bible says this one's religion is useless, some of us might be speaking evil because really we have not really been born again. We've been in a church environment, but what pours out of our mouth, it's all evil all the time. If you are that kind of a person that even the people around you tell you, your mouth is so filthy. I mean, you say these things in the church, you look holy, but at home, look at what your words are filled up with all these things. I want to tell you, brother and sister, the Bible is saying to you that your religious activities, your church attendance, and all those things you're doing, they may be worthless and vain because they don't reflect who you are portraying yourself to be. But your tongue tells it all, that you have not really given your heart to Christ. But brothers and sisters, those of us that have given our life to Christ, remember here, do not speak evil of one another. Brethren.
Right. Very important.
Brethren.
Mm-hmm.
We are Christians now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some of us are already Christian. We have given our heart to God.
Mm.
But we still speak evil. Let me tell you what a few things this means. When we paint someone in a bad light, we are speaking evil of them. In that when we are done with them, somebody that doesn't even know them before kind of get an idea of who we are talking about. Some of us are good at painting pictures, you know, with our tongue, but not good ones. When we criticize another person, it's under evil speaking. We just know how to pick out all the things they don't know how to do, like our wives, like our husbands, like our, you know, friends, like our co-workers. When we are very critical, you know, sometimes we have to resist this because somehow the tongue just wants to pick out those negative things.
Well, Pastor, I'm sorry to stop you. Our time is running. We're about to close, but help out. How can we stop even the first two that you just
the
mentioned?
First one.
What can help us to stop evil speaking? And I was listening to you closely. You said we do this even to our spouses, to our children, to people that are close to us, to brethren. What can help us to put a stop to this? Maybe one or two points before we bring the program to a close.
That's what we all need, isn't it? Well, how can I? Because this is something that affects all of us, really. There are several things the Bible tells us, but let's talk about just one or two of them. Number one is to first recognize the power of the tongue.
Recognize.
For us to know that, you know, my tongue, even though I'm saved and I'm sanctified, my tongue has a great potential. You see, you don't react to something the way you should until you know what that thing is capable of doing.
Okay.
So recognize and be conscious of the power of your tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. Number two, so as from today, know that the Holy Ghost is inside of you. That's right. It's inside of me.
Yeah.
But I'm always conscious of what my tongue is able to do. It's a word on its own. Number two, the Bible says, you and I need to begin to guard our tongue.
Once I know its potential.
Now it's like if you have a dog, you know, and it's a pet, but we know some, you know, unruly dogs.
Right.
That they appear to be untrained. You know, the leash you put them on is very short because you are on guard. You may be walking with them and they just go out. That's the tongue.
Right.
So now you keep the tongue on a tight leash. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Bridle the tongue.
Right.
And the word for God here is to watch over and to protect my tongue. Nobody will do that for me. I got to do it.
How do I do that? I mean,
my tongue
doesn't want to say stuff.
How
do I stop it?
Right. How do I stop it? Well, you see, Let me paint a picture. A word can come from on the inside of you, from your gut, yeah. and gush all the way to here, but it doesn't have to come out.
It doesn't have to come
out. I might not be able to tell my mind to not think that word instantaneously. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, you know, somebody slaps you, you know what wants to come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
It takes a split second for it. But when it gets here, the Bible says, put a leash, a bridle on it, and say, well, God bless you, sir.
Well, we've got to close with this. This is good. I know you want to hear more by God's grace. During the next episode, we will be able to treat this. But I know you have learned the power of the tongue, what the Bible calls the tongue, what the tongue can do, what the tongue is doing, what the tongue has been doing, right? And what the potential, what is the possibility, what could be the cause of what the tongue does? And if I know the dangers, now how do I help? It is just stop it when it gets here. Well, may the Holy Spirit give you and me the grace,
yes,
the ability to control, to bridle our tongues. This way, it only will speak forth life, no longer destruction. Pastor Samuel Obadare from Christ Apostolic Church, Wosom in Lanham, Maryland. Pastor, please give us your number in case we want to call you.
Sure.
And give that to us before we go.
Yeah, the number to call is 240-508-6622. And we have another number, is 301-557-7877. Our address in Maryland is 9222, that's 9222 Annapolis Road, Lana, Maryland. We are off 450. So if you are in the area, please stop by Sunday 10 o'clock and worship with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope you get some calls. I'm sure you will, because this is powerful, and I thank God for such opportunity. I'm Pastor Abraham Obadare with the Way of God, and I thank God for your life and for my life. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to tame our tongue. Until another time, I commit you into the hands of the Lord God Most High.